looking for anything that is something that's holding.
That's right. Is this on? So I'm just going to briefly summarise the key points and provide a couple of comments in relation to the development capacity model evidence that came after I wrote this evidence. And I'm taking the evidence as read, is that?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so in terms of costs, there will be some involved in the rezoning of the subject 8.14 hectare property from low density to high density residential, including a potential reduction in residential amenity for the immediately adjoining neighbours and increased vehicle movements on the road network. To mitigate the potential reduction in amenity, I've suggested an extended setback from the adjoining low-density zoning properties. And in terms of wider neighbourhood character, development within the site would likely be a more intensive character than the adjoining low-density zoning land, but it will not be significantly out of character and will be similar to the character of development provided for by the adjoining medium-density zone. In terms of impacts on the road network, council officers are concerned that the requested high-density zoning would result in a larger car-dependent population because the distance to town is not walkable and that there are no public transport options. I consider the distance is walkable for most people and estimate that the journey from town to the site on foot would take approximately 18 to 25 minutes. Further, if the site and the large undeveloped medium density zone site to the northwest were developed to capacity, the resultant population density could make operating a service viable in the future. In terms of benefits, I consider that the cost would be outweighed by the benefits, including providing the opportunity to materially increase Queenstown housing stock in close proximity to the town centre, which has been identified as a critical issue facing Queenstown. If the site was developed to a theoretical high-density zone yield suggested by council, it would accommodate 1,370 more people than the proposed low-density zone. Further, if the site was developed to a high-quality standard, and the proposal has the potential to deliver the many benefits that come with well-designed, high-density residential neighbourhoods. I acknowledge that the site may not be perfectly located for high-density zoning, but I consider it as an appropriate location, and the proposed zoning will promote the efficient use of existing infrastructure. In terms of policy alignment, given the site is located in close proximity to the town centre, it's within the urban growth boundary, can be served by existing infrastructure and will have minimal impacts in terms of neighbourhood character and amenity. I consider that the proposed rezoning is consistent with the higher level objectives contained in the strategic directions and urban growth chapters of the proposed plan. Also, to consider the zoning gives effect to the NPS on urban development capacity and the operative regional policy statement and is consistent with the proposed. In terms of comments on council development capacity evidence, council is in the process of updating the model in relation to Queenstown claims and was writing my evidence. And supplementary statements for update were filed on the 19th of June. And following my comments, the evidence acknowledges that the model assumptions do not take into consideration land improvement value ratio nor the potential for underdevelopment. In my view, these two factors have the potential to materially influence the feasible development capacity, accepting that the model incorporates a 22% development chance discount. Notwithstanding this, the model predicts a 30-year development capacity will provide 15,100 dwellings, which is over 5,000 more than the estimated predicted demand. If this is the case, there appears to be a disconnect between Council's approach to zoning of the subject site and its preliminary proposal for medium high density zoning housing at Ladies Mile. While the development capacity may considerably exceed the predicted demand, the model estimates a 467 unit shortfall in the predicted demand for Queenstown Hill by 2048, and the requested zoning would eliminate this shortfall.
Cool. Yes, on this last part, the development capacity modelling in your paragraph 12, what do you see as being the reason for the council's disconnect? What do you think is really going on here? Because
simply that I consider that this is it's an appropriate location for high density residential. It's close to the main centre of Queenstown in the district, and a significant commercial centre for employment as well. And so, people that are living at the top of Queenstown Hill and within the subject site could walk to work and there's a number of benefits which I've set out in my evidence relate to high density neighbourhoods, and that type of high density residential in the location that's been suggested would contribute to realising those objectives, or those benefits I should say. And the proposed high density, I don't want to comment on the merits of the high density proposal out of Ladies Mile, but it is a lot further from those employment centres. Accepting that there is some, within the proposal, there is some provision for some local retail within the Ladies Mile proposal. So just comparing the two, I guess that's the disconnect, that council views this as being inappropriate to rezone to a higher density, but obviously considers appropriate to rezone or to potentially rezone an area far removed from a centre, a major commercial node. It's as simple as that.
That's clear. This land, how long has it had an operative residential zoning?
I'm not sure. I could find that for you. I imagine that's been quite some time.
Quite some time, meaning 20 or 30 years?
I'd imagine so. I'm happy to.
Well, I didn't look up the operative thing. I just wondered if it had been zoned for residential even earlier than that.
It could well have been. I haven't looked at that far.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Martin, just one or two. Going back to that paragraph 12, we're talking about the disconnect between council's attitudes. Is it possible that the council recognising that short-term, almost crisis going on at the moment, whereas longer-term, is the supply adequate? Are they trying to solve an immediate problem rather than
potentially?
Yeah.
Yes, I mean, I understand that one of the reasons that underpin the preliminary proposal for Ladies Mile is that it comes from the Accord.
Mm.
And so this is, I guess this might be a different situation. I haven't read the accord, but that was just in the commentary that went along with the ladies might propose. But that may well be the case. But perhaps that land out there would be, and perhaps council knows something that I don't, that land would be developed sooner than this land.
That was the background to my question.
If you look at the likes of Shotover Cambridge, it's obvious that type of land can be developed very quickly. Mm-hmm. Compared to the more subtle.
Yeah, except
issues involved with a steep site.
The site's actually, I don't know if you've got the opportunity to go up there, there's actually quite a lot of relatively level land on that site. Obviously there's that, as you come up from, near Windsor Place, anyhow, that was a knoll.
From
Edinburgh.
Yeah.
There's a sort of in the beautiful moment. Southwestern portion of the site, sort of an elevated rocky knoll, quite large, and then behind that knoll to the northeast is quite a lot of sort of, it appears to me that there's been some earthworks at some time in the past to create level areas. I'm not familiar with the history overly familiar with the history of the site, except if that rocky knoll was levelled out, it would actually be quite a relatively in terms of Queenstown Hill, relative to everywhere else on Queenstown Hill, it's actually quite a large, relatively level development area.
Thank you. We got your evidence in chief, Andy.
I'm looking at it, yeah.
You talk about potential yields, and paragraph 38, you're using the district wide average, 2.6 person per household. Is that? I mean, I would have thought that high density units are more likely to appeal to smaller households. Young couple, single persons, empty nesters, or even just being there for the Airbnb market.
Can.
I mean, is there any research that about that you're aware of about occupancy rates for different density levels?
In the introduction to the evidence in chief, I point out that I was involved in the recovery plan. Residential chapter. Through that, my understanding is that high density or sort of more urban living can have a occupancy of maybe perhaps closer to 2.2. So there's perhaps a difference there. I just used 2.6 because that was the average for the, it was something I could actually pin down as being average for the district. I didn't want to speculate in terms of Queenstown. But yeah, I think you're right though.
But you
it could
point.
Be lower.
You have made the point that theoretical calculation is unlikely, maximum count is unlikely to be made.
I think
anyway.
So. I can't imagine, from my experience, I can't imagine that the yield would be near that. I'm not sure what it would be. and I'd have to spend a lot more time but I don't think that I think that the point I'd like to make is that it is just for comparison, is that it's much higher than the vote and the identity, so that there was an enabling framework there that would enable much higher density,
yeah.
And which hope, you know, which.
Okay, so getting on to the amenity issue, at 48, and again in your summary, you've acknowledged the rezoning would directly impact the amenity, but you sort of say, well, but it should be all right anyway. You haven't been at all specific about what the amenity effect would be or why they wouldn't be too bad. Care to elaborate?
So, you've still got residential neighbours. You'll just have more of them and potentially larger buildings, not necessarily higher buildings. And I've suggested that an extended setback might be appropriate, or something that would require buildings to be set back further. Potentially, just thinking out loud, potentially a particular recession plane for those boundaries. Just anything to create a little bit more distance between between the lower density and the more intensive residential use. But it still is residential use. I don't think that there's a large degree of incompatibility there. But in fact, those boundaries exist now in between medium density and low density.
Okay.
But I think it's just the fact that there's been more people living there and potentially larger buildings.
And more traffic.
You'd likely to be more traffic too, yeah.
On those windy roads.
Yeah, I noticed that. Anecdotally, I haven't lived in Queenstown for the last half a dozen years, but I understand that it's becoming a bit of a rat race over Queenstown Hill.
Long
Hensman Road. Yeah, Long Hensman Road. I went over there this morning, and there was a lot more cars than when I used to live up on Edward the Driver. It was pretty minimal back then, and the traffic seems to have increased quite significantly.
I take it from the vagueness of your answers on effects that there are no plans for development on the site.
That's right, none that I'm aware of.
Right. The other question I've got is this issue of scope.
Mm-hmm.
Reading the submission as lodged, the visitor accommodation subzone had no rules, so there were no development rights granted by the visitor accommodation subzone, is that correct?
No rules in the proposed plan?
Yes.
Before it was removed. That's what I understand. I didn't draft the submission, but I understand that there was perhaps that was a mistake in terms of.
I can't imagine that Mr. Freeman would have made a mistake by that. He's pretty familiar with the plan.
Yes. So that's why I didn't look into that any further. It's just that there was an overlay in the operative plan, and that was essentially transferred to the proposed plan, but without provisions to.
Yes. Well, the reason I raise that is, how does that lack of rules give you scope to extend the high density residential onto the area that was originally covered by the VA subzone?
That's not what I suggested.
No.
I've compared the proposed plan as it is now without the visitor accommodation overlay, and compared that with the operative plan, with the visitor accommodation overlay, with that has provisions that relate to it.
That's even more intriguing. How does that create scale?
But it's just, it's in terms of the expected, or the what the expectations of neighbouring properties under the operative plan, and what has been requested here.
Neighbouring properties might have been quite happy to see no rules, because they may have understood that then nothing would happen.
But again, I'm not comparing the what was removed from the proposed plan. I'm comparing what's in the operative plan to.
I know that you are, but in terms of the law, we had to consider what was notified and what was submitted on, not what some other plan might have.
I see.
And we had to consider what the average person may have taken from what was notified.
Sure.
And their response and the submission and their consequent response.
Mm-hmm. In the absence of any visitor accommodation provisions for that sometime, presumably the development expectation would simply be the LDR.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that might be the case. I'm not quite sure what. I can't speak for what the neighbours, what their understanding was of that, of the notified. And it seems to me that, as I pointed out earlier, that was an oversight. But I could be wrong by that. It seems strange that there would be an overlay but no provisions that relate to it. And in any case, that part of it's been removed.
Well, it would have created an expectation of nothing about it now.
Yeah, that's right. So, the expectation, well, has there been an opportunity, I suppose I'm allowed to ask you a question, but has there been an opportunity to, what stage was the visitor accommodation aspects of stage one removed? Imagine that was after the submission period, and has there been an opportunity provided to the public after them to resubmit, or has it just been left to stage two?
No, it's been left to stage two. I'll keep when that occurred, because if it occurred before further submissions or after further submissions, that could be relevant.
Yeah, I don't think I can assist you any further. I acknowledge that there's that. I understand now that what your question is and what the implication might be, and that's obviously something that the panel have to weigh up.
Mr. Chair, can I just get this clear? Ms. Devlin's report sets out what I understood to be the scope of what your client could see. Is that correct? Upzoning the part of the site that was not visitor accommodation from LDR to HDR. I thought
my client did seek, yes. And then subsequently the overlay was removed and the visitor accommodation was removed, mm-hmm. And therefore that.
It's not one that can be fixed by changing.
Well, you'll have to think about that, but I guess
interpretation of what it asked for.
Yeah, but I guess that, and what I said in my evidence in chief is that if that had been the proposal that my client was submitting on from the outset, if it didn't have a visitor accommodation aspect to it, that overlay, then the request would have. Applied to the entire site. So, what we've identified and we're discussing here is that there's an element of it might be unfair both ways.
Yes, it could well be.
And I, but I don't know how the panel would resolve that. It's probably not. It's probably it could well be something that you'll have to deal with on other submissions as well. Do you want me to email that summary that I provided you to the administrator?
No, that's fine.
That's fine.